This is Chris Evans recording another Storage Unpacked podcast at Dell Technologies World. This time round, I'm joined by Walt Hinton. Walt,
hello.
Good to see you,
Chris.
Again.
Good to see you as well.
So, are you enjoying the event so far?
It's been really busy. It's terrific, and you know, really nice to see Dell taking such a solutions approach to their overall portfolio.
Yeah, great. So, you're from Pavilion Data. You've been on the podcast before. We had a discussion before when we were in. San Jose, Santa Clara.
Yes.
I can never remember exactly which bit your office is in. Obviously, Pavilion's got an architecture based around what is shared storage, but obviously shared storage in a certain way.
Yes.
Do you want to just give people a quick reminder about the technology and so on?
Sure. So we've taken the concept of all flash, but done it in a very specific NVMe from the ground up architecture. So with NVMe being such a high-performance type of storage medium, you really need to have a number of controllers that match that NVMe drive capacity. So we have an array that has up to 20 storage controllers, 40 100 gigabit InfiniBand or Ethernet connections, and then 72 NVMe drives on the back end that we provide storage and data management services on.
Okay, great. One of the things that's really interesting looking at an event like this where we're talking about cloud is that in cloud we're seeing new architectures come along, or at least new ways of deploying technology like databases. You know, previously, traditionally, we might have put them into a virtual machine, and then that virtual machine becomes the object that gets moved around. But obviously, technology's changed a lot in terms of how we deploy databases with things like NoSQL.
Right.
We see now people sharding data, building servers where they put local storage in, but from a scaling perspective, that's not necessarily going to work very well for people. And things like NVMe are going to help solve that, aren't they?
Yes. In fact, so I've been working in for performance storage for a very long time, brought forward some of the first PCIe SSDs inside servers, brought forward the first couple of generations of NVMe, and it was revolutionary. We moved from a traditional SAN architecture to these new scale-out models where basically put storage inside the server and add nodes in order to achieve performance or capacity. And, you know, it brought forward a whole lot of new database architectures, new companies, and new business models. But, yeah, we're starting to run into some issues there.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's a really interesting scenario that we had SAN, which was my
exactly.
thing from like 20 years ago. And we resolved a lot of issues with SAN because we had issues of sprawl and servers that had drives in them originally. And there was a lot of maintenance and overhead and waste because of that. And then, and as an example of that, obviously drives got to a huge size.
Right.
So you could be putting drives into a server and having to put RAID on there and use it in a distributed fashion in order to get performance, but wasting a massive amount of capacity.
Exactly.
So we resolved things like that with SAN. But we've gone through like a, I guess, a pendulum swing, and we've gone away from that, and then we've ended up with servers that have got data and storage within them individually, like you just said. And that was a great thing because that improved the performance. But now we're swinging back to that need to somehow centralize in order to gain those efficiencies of use again and optimize the actual capacity that we've got available. I mean, that must be one of the biggest issues currently today.
It really is. I've had a chance now, being with Pavilion for about 5 months, to meet with some of the largest hyperscale companies on the planet. And they've told me, almost every single one, that we've set our architecture where we won't deploy an SSD that's larger than 2 terabytes. And I thought, now, why on earth would you do that? Because, you know, you become really inefficient. You're deploying more servers. You're deploying more SSDs. NVMe is the most expensive storage you could buy.
Yep.
And the answer was rebuild times when a node fails. So depending on the size of the cluster, the number of shards, you get to a point where across that cluster, rebuilding that node, it can take as much as 25 minutes for a single terabyte to be rebuilt. So
right.
A 2 terabyte drive, you're almost at an hour. And all that time, I'm pulling data from each of the sharded nodes, so I'm impacting application performance while I'm trying to rebuild the
drive.
That's
right, because it's east-west traffic that's going back and forth
exactly.
between those nodes.
Yes.
I mean, that was one of the issues, if anything, that HCI had. That you were introducing that additional traffic that could be there. And I guess when you get into an environment where you've not just got one or two drives, where you've got tens of thousands of drives, you're right. always in a rebuild scenario. There's always something going to be happening somewhere.
Well, the other thing that I've seen now is, and of course, coming from Western Digital and offering NVMe drives, we see people putting, you know, multiple drives in a server, doing some form of RAID at server level. Well, same problem. Now, all of a sudden, I've deployed 50% of my capacity just for data protection purposes. So it leads to this whole idea that there's disaggregation has to happen. And drive makers are, you know, in order to give you more IOPS or more throughput, they're going to have to pack more NAND into that 2.5-inch form factor. So all of a sudden, capacities are going to continue to grow. I mean, we've got Toshiba already shipping 15-terabyte NVMe drives. We know 30-terabyte are right around the corner. So if it takes 25 minutes to rebuild a single terabyte, and I'm at 15, this node recovery issue is a serious problem.
Yeah, I agree. And you are significantly at risk like you used to be. You know, the same problems that we've seen time and time again come back up again. You know, you're exposing that risk of a second failure or another failure or some other type of failure while you're trying to do that rebuild.
Yeah.
And clearly one of the things that isn't necessarily always obvious is if you have a failure in one server and you're relying on data from other servers to do that rebuild and they have some other issue, your data rebuild process is lost at that point.
Everything just compounds.
Yeah.
So we're seeing, you know, various solutions coming out in this category called disaggregation, where I now put a number of NVMe drives into a chassis. I might put that at the bottom of a rack. It may serve one rack, multiple racks. But you still have the issue of, if I've got an architecture that's a traditional sort of all-flash approach and I've got two controllers, yes, I can rebuild a drive that fails, and I can do that in a way that doesn't impact east-west or north-south traffic, but I'm still kind of tied to how fast can that controller rebuild that drive across its volume. And the thing that's really different about Pavilion, and I didn't get this until I met with some of these customers, is that because we have this sort of parallelized controller architecture where I can go up to 20 controllers in a single system, I can gang together controllers to rebuild a drive. So what we like to say is figure about 5 minutes per terabyte with a Pavilion solution. And because it sits behind some number of controllers, I'm not taking any impact from the servers that have their sharded data, because that sharded data actually lives in a volume striped across NVMe drives and, you know, with some number of controllers that can be swarmed together to do a rebuild.
So do you think people will look at it and think, well, hold on, we were sharding at an application level because there was a good reason for that. It gave us performance, it gave us resiliency. And then you're sort of suggesting that we now reconsolidate that into a box that's now got the shards in one central location.
Right.
Do you think people might look at that and think, well, that seems to go against the whole point of sharding in the first place?
So there is a school of thought that says, hey, I'm a database architect. So I design my database with all these concepts in mind for resiliency, for blast radius, for et cetera. And there's no need to really change that. The only difference is the storage doesn't sit inside the server. It actually sits bottom of rack. And again, if you've got an architecture like Pavilion, and there are others, and there will be others, but where you can have controller scale at the same time as you're scaling the number of servers with this disaggregated approach, if the application needs to be capacity-centric, designed for capacity. If it needs to be performance-centric, designed for performance. And, you know, we happen to have a system where you can do both in the same thing. I can set aside some number of controllers and volumes specific for, you know, really high read performance. I can use others for endurance and, you know, heavy read-write workloads. I can even deploy some capacity NVMe as well for things like snapshots, clones, and backup.
I think we're moving to a situation where it seems, again, to make sense to centralize our storage. And it's all about what we centralize in terms of the features and not necessarily centralizing everything that we used to do previously. And I give an example of that because I think that might sound like a bit of a vague comment, but there are certain things that it makes sense to centralize, like data protection,
right,
implementing things like RAID. But other pieces of the technology that can be done better in the application will be better left to the application to do. So, you know, you give out a LUN or a volume and let the application decide how it carves that up, for example.
Right, right. Yeah, and another great example, I get asked by industry pundits, well, where's your replication? Well, frankly, the applications are really good at that. Let the application manage replication. One of the features, though, that is important, and we're seeing this in financial services with very large data lakes, traditional network backup doesn't work well in a sharded cluster environment. Mm. Again, east, west, north, south traffic, and I've got a specific backup window. Once I'm at a petabyte or more in that data lake, it's a real problem. So having consolidated storage where I could do snapshots, I could clone that snapshot and hand it off to a backup application, I don't impact network performance, and you know, effectively, it looks like zero downtime. It's changing the backup window paradigm.
Yeah, so there are certain features that make sense to keep in storage, let the application deal with it, with others itself, and maybe that's, you know, where we're headed in the future. And I'd be interested to understand what you think about the idea of rack scale in that scenario, because as the way you're designing your product, you're effectively saying, for example, you might have one storage unit per rack or two storage units per rack.
Right.
But effectively, you're designing it so that any of the servers that are sitting in that rack can access any of that storage. And therefore, you're building what could be called, also called composable infrastructure.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, I would say that, you know, Pavilion fits in that category of composable disaggregated infrastructure as defined by IDC. Now, there are some things, though, that you also want to think about in terms of storage that services these applications in different ways. So we're very much about performance and latency. You know, this week we are talking about write performance. Nobody really wants to talk about the write performance because the numbers don't look so good. We're doing 90 gigabytes a second parallel writes, 128 kilobyte blocks at 40 microsecond latency. Now, of course, this is on RDMA-based Ethernet. So, you know, go to TCP, your mileage will vary a bit.
Yeah.
But still, NVMe over fabrics with those kinds of latencies, wow, that's really interesting. At the same time, this is not a tier 2 or tier 3 storage solution. So we see things like VAST where they're implementing QLC NAND technology, which is much more about lower cost and longer term retention, sort of worm-like technology, write once, read many.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, very different than where we're really targeted, which is this is about a better way than traditional what we call direct attached storage, where it's NVMe drives inside of servers, and you know, whether it's one and then the sharding problem, or two and the poor utilization problem as you apply different RAID techniques.
Yeah. Okay. Very quickly then, as we come towards the end of our time, talk to us about the performance announcements then, because we're at an event and you're presenting at the event and your technology's here, and you have, I think, just intimated about your performance improvements. But you know, tell us what you've just announced.
We've introduced release 2.2, which is really software. And by the way, the whole platform is commodity technology. There's no special ASICs or anything. This is Intel Broadwell SoCs, standard gigabit, or, you know, 100 gigabit Ethernet or InfiniBand. But what we've done is really tune our software technology for very low latency. So 40 microsecond latency from server across fabric to the front end of the array, through the controllers, and all the way back into the RAID 6 volume. Write performance at 90 gigabytes a second, which is kind of unheard of. And at the same time, we've added some other enhancements around our snapshotting. So we had a basic snapshot, which was good in sort of a file system environment, but when it comes to, you know, sharded scale-out databases, you have to maintain consistency.
Yeah.
So now all of our snapshots have this consistency group capability, so that when I do take a snap and I create a clone and I hand it off to a backup application, you know that when you bring it back, you can bring that database back to its proper state.
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like a lot of the evolutions you're doing are coming from the software. And one of the things I think that makes that really interesting is that if you look at the performance of the drives and then you add in any overhead,
right.
I think a lot of the modern disaggregated architectures are trying to get out of the way of adding more latency into that scenario. So optimizing the storage and keeping out of the way of the data is a real focus, I think, for these platforms.
Yeah, and certainly a focus for us. We have some patents, in fact, around how we do reads and writes so that we're not super heavy on DRAM. Right, keeps the platform inexpensive, but we establish connections, get out of the way. One other thing that I think is important to talk about here, Chris, is there are different approaches to this disaggregation, and one size doesn't fit all. In some cases, a software-defined approach is appropriate for let's call it a small cluster. But as you reach a scale, this whole idea of doing sort of bottom of rack, or we've got a customer that's got 256 servers defined to single one of our arrays.
Right.
You need to have that sort of robustness that comes with a beefy hardware and software solution.
Yeah, and I look back at it and think that one of the benefits of any of the technologies, there's an example of the technology that would have come from EMC that is now being sold by Dell, is that resilience and that quality in the actual product.
Yes.
And I think that's going to come back again because, as you said, 256 servers pointing to one storage solution, if that goes down, there's a huge impact. So
exactly.
We still need to consider that and make sure that our platforms are solid and reliable, I think.
You have to have fault tolerance built throughout. And what I really respect about the team that created Pavilion System is these are industry veterans. They're not trying to reinvent what was done with EMC Symmetrix years ago, but they're using those same concepts that are, fundamental to really good storage design and doing it with NVMe from the ground up.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay. Remind everybody where they can go and find information out.
Yes, we are Pavilion Data Systems, www.paviliondata.com.
Okay, that's great. Well, thanks for spending the time and catching up with us, and catch up soon.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thanks.
Cheers.
You've been listening to Storage Unpacked. For show notes and more, subscribe at storageunpacked.com. Follow us on Twitter at Storage Unpacked or join our LinkedIn group by searching for Storage Unpacked Podcast. You can find us on all good podcatchers, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Thanks for listening.